Instead, it's God's intention that we stand in His provision and experience victory when we face external battles. Now, the key to all of this, I don't know if you picked that, we didn't plan us, is being in Christ. As a part of that homework assignment, you might want to just start counting. As you're reading back through that book of Ephesians this week, start counting the number of times that you read, in Christ, in Him, in Christ, in Him. Permeates the book of Ephesians. And so that lets us know right to start with, unless we are in Christ, this provision that God has for you is not accessible for you. God intends for us to experience victory, yes, but that victory is found in Christ. And so that's where we have found ourselves over the past several weeks. Whenever we face these external battles, Paul, most likely being chained up next to a Roman soldier, because he's writing this from prison, remember, most likely standing either chained next to or in close proximity to a Roman soldier, most likely fully arrayed in his armor. I can imagine that Paul looked up and said, you know, just as that soldier has been equipped and prepared to experience victory in his battles, so God has equipped and prepared his people. And so I would challenge you, I would tell you, man of God, woman of God, whenever you find yourself in that external battle, put on the full armor of God. It's God's provision for victory. And that's what we've been going through now for the past several weeks. Here we are. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can make your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of the world's darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you will be able to stand your ground. And having done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth fastened around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness arrayed, with your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And as we mentioned before, there are so many who are teaching or preaching on this topic, and they would stop right there and say, that's the end of God's provision. That's the end of His armor. That's all He's given to us. And actually, that's not the case at all. Because almost without even taking a breath, we can go right into verse 18. Pray. Pray. Pray in the Spirit at all times. And with every kind of prayer and petition. And to this end, stay alert with all perseverance or persistence or stubbornness in your prayers. And so over the past several weeks, we've been looking particularly at this provision of prayer as we experience external battles. And we've discovered from this passage that we can identify five characteristics of that prayer. It's a powerful prayer because it is empowered and prompted and urged on by the Spirit of God. Wow. I could go back and preach every one of these again. You don't have the time and I don't have the voice. But we're not just babbling. We're not just fulfilling some kind of religious obligation. This provision that God has given to us, this provision of prayer, it's Spirit-empowered prayer. Oh, remember that hope, that amazing truth, that because the Spirit is God, and because Jesus is God, and because the Father is God, the Spirit who is God enables us and prompts us and urges us and empowers us to pray according to the provision of Christ, who is God. All according to the will of the Father, who is God. God praying to God according to the will of God because of what God has done. And here we are, the recipients of all of that. It's a powerful prayer. Wow. And so it's not just a powerful prayer, though. It's a constant prayer. Remember we talked about that. It's not constant in the sense that you walk around bumping into things because you won't open your eyes. But it's constant in the sense that it is an atmosphere in which we live, and it is an attitude that we adopt. I'm going to pray, and I'm not going to stop. Every time and on every occasion, I'm going to pray, a constant prayer. And then we said, it's an asking prayer. Why should we feel guilty about asking God for things when He says ask? Some folks will say, that's selfish. Well, not if He tells me to ask, it's not. And so we pray and we ask, because if we don't ask, we don't receive. Ask. And then last week we looked at this idea of it being a stubborn prayer. I keep going back to that thought that there's some who would teach us erroneously. There was some who would have us to believe that you, if you're really full of faith and power, you can pray over something one time, and if you have enough faith, that's it. You don't ever have to pray about it again. That's nonsense. Because the Bible tells me that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. And so there are some things that we yet hope for. There are some evidences in our life that we have not yet seen. And so we ask. And so we pray. And so we pound on that door. And so we continue to seek. And when we do, that is the very definition of faith. I have asked, and I haven't seen anything yet, so I'm going to ask again. And Jesus would say, I've not seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. That's why He concluded that particular passage on ask, seek, and knock. He said, when I come, will I find genuine faith on the earth? And it's no accident that that question is given in the context of that person who just would not stop asking. So our prayers are stubborn. And then the final aspect of this provision of prayer that I want us to look at today is the idea of selfless prayer. Selfless prayer. So let's finish up that passage of Scripture. Look at verse 18. Pray in the Spirit at all times with every kind of prayer and petition, and to this end stay alert with all perseverance. All perseverance in your prayers. Now here's where I want us to focus today. For all the saints. Pray for all the saints. And then verse 19 says, pray also for me. So we're praying for the saints, we're praying for the people of God, and we're praying for the leaders that God has allowed to serve. But when it comes to praying for Paul, what did he want specifically? It's amazing what he did ask for and what he didn't ask for. He didn't say, pray that I'll get out of this stinking prison. That would have been a pretty good one to pray for, I would think. He didn't say, pray and join with me that this thorn in my flesh can be overcome. Because remember, he'd already settled that with God when the Holy Spirit told him, no, my grace is sufficient for you. So he wasn't praying for things that might seem obvious. Instead, he said, pray that even though I'm in prison, and even though I've got all of these issues in my life, pray for me. In what way? He said, pray that when I open my mouth, it will be divine. And pray for me that the divine utterance would make known the mystery of the gospel. Prayer for others. Prayer for others. And so here we are. The final aspect of this prayer, a provision of prayer that I want us to look at is a selfless prayer. Selfless prayer. The same word that is used here in that particular passage is the exact same word that was used earlier when it talked about praying with all kinds of petitions. It's the same word. If you'll remember what we said on that particular topic, it means this. There are certain specific things in people's lives that we ought to be concerned about and that we ought to be praying about. So pray specifically with certain specific prayer requests. And so, that's why we have no hesitation that when we find out that Miss Hazel is experiencing migraines, that we pray for the saint specifically. Now, I got to be honest with you. This is where human weakness, this is where human deficiency comes in so often for me. I'm going to confess something to you, all right? Don't hold it against me, because I think if you'll be honest, you probably can find yourself in this scenario as well. We hear about people and their needs and their situations. Either they tell us, or we find out some other way, and we'll say, oh, I'll have to make that a matter of prayer. And then if we're not careful, we really don't. And so I would just encourage you, whenever you hear about something, like, you know, sometimes it only takes a moment. That doesn't mean you have to stop and rain fire down from heaven. But it only takes a moment. You find out that someone is not feeling well. You find out that someone is struggling. You find out that someone is experiencing a difficulty in their life or in their family. You just find out that there's something going on in the life of a brother or sister in Christ. Now, if you're in a position where you can kneel down and spend hours and hours in intercessory prayer over that thing and you feel like you ought to, by all means, do that. But I don't find myself in that situation very often. But what I do experience is this. Pastor, would you pray for me over something? Would you pray with me about something? And I'll say, yes, most certainly I will be remembering you in prayer. And then it's almost like a pause. And in the moments when I'm sensitive, I'll yield to that pause. And I'll say, why don't we just pray about that right now? And maybe with that person present, or that may not actually be appropriate for that particular situation. But maybe when you get back home, or maybe as you're driving away from that situation, or maybe the next day, or maybe later on that same day, something happens and that person and their situation is brought to your mind and say, oh yeah, that's right, I told them I would pray for them. I'll have to do that the next time I pray. How about right now being the next time you pray? And so, maybe, again, it goes right back to that whole idea of an attitude of constancy in prayer. You don't have to drive to the church and come and kneel down here with soft music playing in the background. Instead, it could be while you're going from place to place. It could be while you're opening the fridge to pour yourself a glass of milk at home. It could be at any time, on any occasion, and the Holy Spirit brings that person and that situation to your mind. And so you just say, God, right now you're bringing this brother, this sister, this situation to my mind. I don't know exactly what's going on, but Lord, I just pray that you'd help them. I pray you'd be with them. And then you finish pouring your milk and you walk away from that moment. That's the context that we're looking at. Now, please understand, I wouldn't encourage that be the only way you pray for others, but it puts that. How many of you know it can be really easy to get selfish in our praying? Yeah. And it's as if Paul knows that. I would think that he probably does know that. So now look, it's almost, let me just read between the lines of what Paul is saying here. Now look, you're the one that's going through this battle. You're the one that's experiencing this external conflict. You're the one that's experiencing trouble and difficulty. And God has given you this amazing provision of prayer, and it's powerful prayer, and it is amazing, and it's all of these amazing things. But don't get so wrapped up in your own self and in your own situation that when you go to prayer, you forget. Because guess what? That battle that you're experiencing, God is faithful to bring to your mind that your brothers and sisters are experiencing battles as well. And so a part of God's provision for me to experience victory is that he reminds me to pray for you. Because here's the whole thing. If we really are one body, as the scripture says, when you're hurting, I'm hurting. But the beautiful part about that too is when you're experiencing victory, I get to shout right along with you. And so I think it's an awesome and timely reminder. in all of this amazing, powerful, constant prayer that you're going to be engaging in as a part of God's provision for your own victory, understand that your victory is wrapped up in the destiny of someone else. Pray. Pray for others. Pray for others. Another thing, another thought that I had, and I want to be careful here because I don't want to give the wrong impression, so you guys help me if I'm getting this across right. It is always right and always appropriate for us to pray for unbelievers. We ought to do that. But isn't it interesting that in Paul's admonition on prayer, he doesn't say, pray for the lost that they might come to Christ. He doesn't. He says, for you, when you're experiencing a difficulty, a part of you experiencing victory in that difficulty is the reminder to pray for the saints. And so I have to think of this, okay, it's always good and it's always appropriate to pray for the lost, but what if, rather, this is where I want to be careful, so let's get to the end of this before you judge me, okay? What if rather than praying for the lost, I actually witness to the lost? And in doing so, become a part of the answer to my own prayer. Wow. Now please don't walk away and say, Pastor told us it wasn't good to pray for the lost. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying it's amazing that in this context, when Paul is describing God's amazing provision of prayer for us to experience victory in battle, he doesn't say pray for the lost, he says pray for the saints. Because they too are experiencing the same kind of battles that you're facing, and your destiny is wrapped up in theirs because you are one in Christ. Pray for the saints. Pray for the saints. I would say pray for those that you know. This is what I was talking about a few moments ago. You'll find out. You've heard today. How many of you just found out a few moments ago that Hazel was, she didn't even know I'm doing this. God bless her. How many of you just found out this morning that Hazel has been experiencing migraines? Okay, we know Hazel. We're going to pray for her because we know her. We want to see her experience victory over that. And when she does, and when she gives testimony to that victory, we get to experience the joy of her being set free from those migraines. And so we pray for those that we know. But I would say this as well. We have an obligation and a reminder to pray for the saints that we don't know. Why can I pray about something I don't know? Open your newspaper. Watch a news report. How many of you know that right now, in many parts of the world, there is an attempted genocide of Christians that's taking place? Nigeria. How many believers in Nigeria have been slaughtered in the past 12 months? We don't even know. In Kenya. In the Middle East. Open your Bible. And the Bible says that these things were going to happen, and then you open your newspaper right next to it and you see the scriptures being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. Pray for the believers that you don't even know. We don't even have to go across the ocean. We can actually just go a few states over and recognize that the states of Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas, Kansas are experiencing flooding, devastating flooding, and terrible tornadoes that have torn entire cities apart. You need something to pray about? I would venture to say that there are believers in those areas whose lives are impacted beyond belief. You may never know their name, but you can pray for them. Pray Pray that they wouldn't grow discouraged and grow weary, but that even through this difficulty, their faith would remain strong and ever increase. Pray for the believers you know. Pray for the saints you don't know. You know, one of the ways, not just through news stories, but one of the ways that throughout the years I have prayed for saints and for the children of God and leaders of God in the kingdom, people that I don't even know, is through this resource. And I'm just going to tell you about it. It's called Operation World. Anybody ever heard of this book? You have. See? You know, Pastor, one of my problems is whenever I go to pray, I run out of things to pray for right away. You're kidding me, right? Well, let me get you on the right start. If you were using Operation World, you could go and find any day of the week. You could actually, by the time you get, it's a thick book, but now you're not going to read it all at once. But by the time you get through this book, you will have prayed for the entire world in a year. So, for example, if we were utilizing this book today, guess what our prayer focus would be? And by the way, this book tells you something about that particular country. It tells you about the people groups. It tells you about the number of missionaries, the number of churches, the number of Christian denominations. It tells you about praises that have been taking place. It tells you about challenges that are needed, that are still needed in that country. It tells you about unreached people. It tells you about missionaries and pastors that are serving in these countries. If we were to use this as our guide today, Pastor Abraham, we would be praying for India today. Let's see, who am I going to pick on? Amy, when's your birthday? You don't have to tell us the year. What's that? October 18th. All right. Here we go. October 18th. So, oh yeah. So, Amy, on your birthday, we would be praying for Sri Lanka. Isn't that amazing? Because there are believers in Sri Lanka. Rich, when's your birthday? Oh, it's coming up. Don't forget, June 18th. All right, June 18th. Here we go. Let's see. Oh, I didn't know. Yeah, okay. Oh. Lord, forgive this man for lying. Okay, so on your birthday, we're praying for Indonesia. Yeah. And you can do that for any day of the year. Now, you can find this book. And you don't have to use this book. There are other resources that are just as good. But ask the Holy Spirit, God, awaken within me something that moves beyond my own selfish praying. Because you know what I found? Really, I don't have any problem praying for the saints, but usually my prayer is focused on one saint. Right here. Huh? My need. My family. My car. My job. My dog. My sickness, my finances. So I don't have a problem praying for the saints. Usually I don't expand it beyond myself. However, that's the will of God. By the way, it's not wrong to pray for yourself. Remember, we already talked about that. Praying and asking is a part of God's provision for us. But it goes beyond that. It's a recognition that when you are experiencing victory in your life, because you and I have an entwined and interconnected destiny in Christ, because we're all a part of the same body. When you're experiencing victory, I get to rejoice. When you're experiencing difficulty, I come alongside you and mourn. That is the definition of the word fellowship. Having all things in common. You see, if you don't succeed, then I have failed. Let that sink in. If you don't succeed, if you're not experiencing victory, then I need to battle right beside you. Because guess what? You're going to want someone to stand with you in prayer when you're going through something. Isn't that amazing? You know, well, they'll be okay. They'll be okay. We'll just other folks are praying for them. They'll be okay. And then it hits your family. And man, you want to blast that out on Facebook, and you hope everybody's praying for you. And so I would say, allow the, and by the way, this kind of selfless thinking and selfless praying, it isn't natural. We naturally are selfish people. We are. And so this kind of selfless praying has to be a work of the Spirit. God, awaken my heart to pray beyond my own self and my own family. Awaken my heart to move beyond my own self-centered and self-focused praying and understand that my brothers and sisters are experiencing a difficulty, and it doesn't impact me on a day-to-day basis because I don't have to wake up with it every day like they do. But God, awaken a selfless praying within me. I remember when we were in college, that was a buddy of mine. We actually ended up serving in the Philippines together as missionaries. But we were standing together in chapel service, and we were standing in on the second row, and there was a guy on the front row there. And when the conclusion of the service came, this guy just knelt down, and he just started praying. He started praying. And then my buddy, my friend, it's Terry, knelt down, and he started praying. And pretty soon, Terry was, I could tell, it wasn't just one of those Jesus bless me prayers. I mean, he was agonizing. Something had seized him. Something had gripped him, and he was literally sobbing, and his body was just convulsing. He was sobbing so fiercely. Had a chance to talk to him later. I said, "What in the world, brother? I wanted to pray. I wanted to join in that, but I didn't know what was going on." He said, "Man, it was amazing to me. The guy that was standing there in front of us, he was obviously praying about something. And just off the top of my head, and just on a whim, he said, I don't even know if I really meant it, but God apparently heard my words. He heard my prayer, and he took me at my word, because this is what I prayed. He said, I'm standing there, and I said, Lord, if I can be of help to our brother, just let me experience a small portion of the pain that he's going through. He said, and in the next few moments, I was overcome with grief and heartache, and I had no idea what I was even so sad about. I was just overcome with sorrow. And I stood up, this is Terry telling me, he says, I stood up from that moment and I said, oh God, if I'm only experiencing a portion of his pain, oh, and that has stuck with me through the years. I have to confess to you, I haven't always been faithful to do that. I've been just like you. Sometimes I would hear of a need going on in someone's life, and I would just passively say, well, God bless you, brother. We'll be praying about that. And then I walk away, and I never think about it again. We've all done that. It's not our intent. It's not what we want. But we do. We do that because we're selfish by nature and because we're forgetful, because we're human beings. And so that's why it takes an awakening of the Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, awaken in me something that looks beyond my own situation. And I have to trust you, God, that if you're awakening within me a burden for my brothers and sisters, you're also awakening in them a burden for me, because just like they need it, I need it. And so I hear the words of Scripture, bear ye one another's burden. So this provision of prayer that God has given to us, it's not just powerful, but it's selfless. And Paul said, pray for the saints. In all of your praying, pray for the saints. That's one thing I appreciate. Dr. Ben leads our prayer service every Friday night. And I don't know if God's impressed on you to do this on purpose, but this is something I've noticed that you do. Every Friday night he says, let us pray for our brothers and sisters in the church. Every Friday, he's faithful to do that. And so whether you're here or not, whether you even want to be here or not, you're being prayed for every Friday night at least. Amen. And then Paul says, by the way, when you're praying for everybody else, don't forget to pray for me. Pray for me. See, he had been their pastor for a while. Pray for me. Okay, Paul, how can we join with you in prayer? What can we believe God on your behalf? And he says, all right, if you want to pray for me, here's how I need you to pray for me. Pray for me that when I open my mouth, a divine utterance may be given. He didn't say, pray that I'll become more skillful in my sermon delivery. He didn't say, pray for me that I'll be able to just be slick in my presentation and convincing in my words. He said, pray for me that when I open my mouth, it'll be a divine utterance. That it might be my vocal cords, but I want it to be the voice of God. A divine utterance. And by the way, when you're praying for me about that, that when I open my mouth, it'll be a divine, a God thing, when you're praying about that, keep in mind the end goal is that there will be a clear presentation of the gospel. I want to be careful. I really do. But there are some things, there are some teachings that go on in the name of Jesus. There are some things that are preached and taught and put on the public airways in the name of the church that have zero to do with the gospel. Flipping through the channels not too long ago, Eventually, Kim kind of snapped me to my sense. She says, why are you watching that? I was flipping through the channels, and I stopped on this one channel, and there was this guy. He probably started out well. I didn't know him back then, but he probably started out well. But in the whole time I listened to him, there was not one mention of the name of Jesus. There was not one mention of the gospel. There was not one mention of what Christ did and how he wanted to save men and women from their sin. There was not one mention of all that Christ accomplished on the cross. Not one. Everything was about sow your seed into my ministry and get rich. And my heart was grieved. I don't know what that guy, I don't know how he started out. He may have started just right. And I'm not going to fuss too much with that because I do believe God rewards those who give in obedience in certain situations. But my God, man, you're not even talking about Jesus anymore. You're not talking about what he did on the cross. You're not reminding people that they're lost and undone and need a Savior. You're telling them that they can send you a seed and get rich. God help us. And so Paul didn't say, pray that I'll find the latest marketing technique. Pray that I'll be successful in recruiting people into my Christian Ponzi scheme. He didn't say any. He said, pray that when I open my mouth, that God will be there so that the gospel can go forward. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. As long as I have breath in my lungs, and as long as I am clear in my own mind, I will preach the gospel. And I give you permission. Listen, hear me. I give you permission because I need to stay on track. I give you permission. If I deviate from the gospel message and onto things that are not Christ-centered, call me out on it. Pray for all of the saints and pray for me. Pray for me. And so, this provision of prayer that God has given to us, it's a selfless provision. And then, not only are we to pray for the saints, now, Paul's specific admonition here in this passage is that we pray for the saints. And that we pray for those in spiritual leadership. But I'm going to tag on to that, if you'll allow me. How many of you know what is today is. It's kind of an unofficial declaration. Anybody know? Pray. Pray for our president. Now look, I understand that Mr. Trump is quite a controversial character. I understand that even among the body of Christ, there are differences of opinion. And so what we're not going to do today is become political. But what we are going to do today is we're going to heed the call of some respected ministries, and more importantly, we're going to heed the call of Scripture that we pray. Can I tell you, our country's in trouble. And whether we like it or not, whether we approve or not, or whether we voted a certain way or not, we have a man sitting in our White House as our president who needs our prayer. Whenever we are being lectured about human rights by people who would tell you it's okay to kill a baby, something is out of line. We're in trouble. I'll go ahead and tell you, the days of coasting on our reputation as a Christian nation are long over. How many of you recognize that as far as the percentage of unreached people, the United States is third in the world, only to China and India? How many of you recognize that God is calling men and women from around the globe to come to this nation as missionaries? Let us not think because we have in God we trust on our money and we have under God in our pledge that somehow we're safe and we're okay. This nation is in trouble. And for better or for worse, we have an obligation to pray for our president. We need to pray. And not just him, by the way. It's all of those who sit in governance over it. I would even say this at the local level as well. Whenever we're, I'm going to, forgive me, but whenever we're spending millions of, locally, when we're spending millions of dollars to pave a sidewalk that nobody wants, meanwhile the homeless are starving and cold on the street, something is wrong. And so we need to pray. We need to pray that locally, within our state, within our region, within our nation, and around the world, that God's priorities would find their way into the hearts of our leaders. How many of you know that even if a person, even if a leader doesn't claim the name of Christ, and even if they themselves have not declared that their agenda is God's agenda, how many of you know the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, and he can direct it wherever he wants? And so even godless people can find themselves doing the will of God. And so I call you today to pray. I call you to pray. Let's stand. God's provision of prayer is selfless. Holy Spirit, birth within us a prayer that goes beyond ourselves, a prayer that reaches to our brothers and sisters in Christ, those that we know and those that we don't know. Lord, let our praying become not motivated by anything other than your priorities and your agenda. Lord, we pray, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And so, Lord, today we pray. We pray for these within our own congregation who are experiencing trouble of every kind. Lord, we join our hearts and our faith with them, and we say, be near. Be near. Oh, God, give help. We pray for our brothers and sisters around this nation and around the world that are experiencing natural disasters and persecution. And Lord, we say, be near. Help, God, in ways that we cannot even imagine. God, be near. And then, Lord, we pray for those who serve in spiritual leadership over us. All of us have someone that serves in leadership over us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give to those divine utterance, that the gospel might be proclaimed. Lord, those men and women whose ministries have strayed from their calling, Lord, we pray for them. We don't condemn them this morning. We pray for them that they would be brought back to the centrality of the message of Christ and away from the foolishness and nonsense. Lord, we pray for those in spiritual leadership. And then, Lord, according to your word, we pray for those who serve in governmental positions of leadership. Your word declares that it's you are the one that has set people in place. And so God, with that in mind, our obligation is to pray. Lord, we pray specifically this morning for our local leaders, from the mayor and the city council and the county councils and all of the counties around here. God, we pray, even if they're unaware, bring their thought processes in alignment with kingdom priority. Let every agenda bow the knee to the agenda of the kingdom. Lord, we pray for those who serve as state legislators and our governor. Lord, we pray. We pray, Lord, for our lieutenant governor and all of those who serve us in state government. God, we pray that their minds would be filled with the things of God. And even if they don't know it, and even if they've not asked for it, God, take over their thought processes. Take over their governance processes. Take over the legislative processes, that your kingdom come, that your will be done. Lord, for the sake of our children, for the sake of our state, Lord, we pray. And then, Lord, we pray for our national leaders. We pray for President Trump today, for Vice President Pence. We pray for the Speaker of the House and for the leader of the Senate. We pray for all of the committees that serve in those various bodies of governance. Lord, we pray for our Supreme Court justices. You're not asking us to agree with them, but to pray for them. And so, God, we pray today that even in those who have a heart to do things and to make legislation and to pass agendas that are not in accordance to your plan, Lord, thwart every effort of the enemy that is contrary to your will. Lord, we're praying that righteousness be established in our White House. We pray, God, that righteousness be established in our governing bodies. For righteousness exalts a nation. Oh, God, remove the reproach of sin. Oh, God, we pray for President Trump today, that you will protect him physically, emotionally, and that you will get a hold of him spiritually. God, I believe that you're working on him. I believe that you've placed people in his life that are chipping away at that hardened exterior. God, we pray for a softening of his heart, that there wouldn't just be a head knowledge or even just a nodding towards people of faith. But God, we pray that you will bring him to a place where he is born again. We want our president to be saved. God, let it be so. Lord, we pray for the leaders of nations around the world. For even these kings have their heart in your hand. Lord, we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. justice for the oppressed, help for the poor, food for the hungry, relief for those in distress. Oh God, thank you, Lord, for reminding us this morning that a part of your provision is selfless praying. Oh God, may we lift our eyes beyond our own situations today and recognize that you're not only my hope, you're the hope of the world. You're not only my help, you're the hope and the help of nations. Oh God, today we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hey, I want to challenge you in the days ahead. I can go ahead and tell you, because the Holy Spirit is faithful, I can go ahead and tell you that in the days ahead, the rest of today and in the days ahead, God will bring to your mind certain people. It might be a brother or sister who sits near to you in this service. It might be someone that you know of that they don't even live here in town. It might be a name that you hear in the newspaper and you've never even met the person. But the Holy Spirit will bring to your memory and will bring to your attention needs and situations. Don't just slough it off. Pray. Let's pray for one another. Can we do that? It's a part of God's provision. Can we do that? Yes. Anybody going to be traveling on the highways this summer? Look at that. Okay. I believe God has laid that on your heart and has given you the prompting. Will you lead us in that? Amen. Yes, yes. Amen. Yes, 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 yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Go forth in confidence. Hey, look, don't forget your homework assignment. Go through Ephesians. Jot down some things. Let me bless you on your way out the door. Father, I bless these, your people, right now. I bless them with selfless thinking and selfless praying. God, I bless them with eyes that see beyond their own circumstance. I bless them with a compassion, a genuine compassion that becomes involved in the life of someone else, that they too might experience your victory. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Amen.